So this is Kingdom Faith, where we focus on the Christian life, the good stuff, and the hard stuff. Oh, that's no, my, I messed it up. That's my spot. All right, let's that's try it. This is Kingdom Faith.
The hard stuff.
Oh, dang it. We're screwing this up.
Well, you started it, but you know, it is what it is. This is Kingdom Faith.
You're back, though.
I'm back.
You're back.
Back.
And so you sound like a man.
Yeah, I'd like to credit all of that to this either cold or allergies I'm going through. But yeah, it makes me a lot more in charge at work, at home. I mean, on the podcast, you can tell a difference.
Yeah.
You know what I'm coming to.
I'm almost afraid to even be sitting here right now.
Yeah.
I'm afraid you're going to make me stand in the corner or something.
Hey, maybe I will.
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
I'm about to have to go mow the lawn or something. Take out the trash.
Do the dishes, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's been going on?
Man, just not a whole lot, honestly. I preached my second Sunday ever, which was a lot of fun. I always enjoy, you know, the opportunity to do that. But shy of that, man, just working a lot. I mean, that's life as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, work. But other than that, it's been nothing new.
Yeah.
Nothing new. Ashley's on this, can we get another dog kick? So, like, Wednesday when we were coming here, she sent me pictures and videos of these Aussie doodles. And she said, you know, I want this one, want that one, blah, blah, blah. And me, being the voice of reason that I am, so we don't need another dog. You said when these two dogs died, the dog, you know, Norman and Neville now, that if we ever get another dog, it'd just be one. But she said, yeah, but we could have three now. So the math don't add up for me. Her brain don't add up for me. But then
she wants to make sure that third dog's mature when
they're there, right? But as you know, it's a puppy, and by the time we get home Wednesday, she's like, "No, never mind, I don't want it." Wake up Thursday, and she posts on Facebook.
Two new dogs.
No. She takes like a Facebook poll. Says,
"Who thinks
you should get three another dog?" And it's like, you just told me last night, like less than 12 hours ago, you didn't want one. And then last night, she's like, never mind, I don't want
one. So me and Savannah laughed about that post. I'll just share this.
What the world?
Because Jimmy posted comment on that post. So she, you know, Ashley was like, should we get, you know, a third dog, all that, whatever.
Yeah.
And everybody else's comments like, yes, because of so-so-and-so, or no, because so-so-and-so.
Yeah.
But Jimmy just like, nope.
Nope.
Yeah. He's like, when you guys go on vacation, that's three more dogs.
That's right, man. That's right, man. It's a lot. So she hasn't made up her mind yet. But even with this voice, she might get what she wants.
Yeah.
But
voice don't scare.
It don't.
No.
No. But so, hey, that's it, man. What about you? What's with you?
So this week, I adventured into the old church. Some of you listening know we own an old church that is beat down, and we're going to restore it and some things like that. But the bell tower has pigeons and birds, and it has a window that was broken, and that's how they were getting up there. The other parts of the bell tower are now sealed off, but there was still one window that you just watch a pigeon every now and then sit there and just fly up. They can't get really hardly anywhere else except they get through the attic. And they can get other places, but mainly they're just up there. And so there's poop everywhere.
Sick.
Just pigeon poop. It's nasty, disgusting. I was like, we need to get that sealed up. So I took some plywood over there, you know, all that stuff that you do. And I got the bottom piece. There's like a platform that goes up to the second level. And the window's like split in half. So I had to put plywood on one end and then go up to the top. And like, but there's, like I said, there's probably like that much poop up there.
That's dead disgusting.
Pigeons. It's nasty.
Is there dead pigeons up there too?
Yeah, hazard up. So I had a mask on. I wore long sleeves. I didn't want to touch nothing. And then I like washed up as soon as I got done. But here I almost had a heart attack, though. And we can relate because we hate birds.
Okay.
Birds are disgusting.
They're nasty.
They're nasty.
Their feet are disgusting.
Yeah, they're sick, you know. And so I walk up to the second level, and I'm trying to do this as quick as possible.
Yeah.
But I do not want to be there because you hear these pigeons just, woo. Yeah. And so I'm up there. I had to go up a second time because I needed another piece. Well, as soon as I walk past the opening, there's a big hole there where they're going up. A dead pigeon falls down.
Haunted.
And just like missed me. And I'm like, oh no. So I heard,
how's that dead pigeon fall out of nowhere that's just been sitting there for however long it's been sitting there? And all of a sudden,
oh no, it looked like a fresh pigeon. It just lay in there dead. I was like, I'm done. And I drilled the one piece I had, and I was like, yeah.
So, you should have just plugged the hole from the platform.
Yeah, we're just gonna do that.
Man.
I'm waiting for those people to die.
Dang. How many is up there?
I don't know. A flock.
Sick. At least. You're just going to wait for them? You're going to starve them out?
Yeah.
Good for you. They don't burn the whole church down.
They don't take
them out. I'd burn the whole building down, man.
Yeah. So I've had a couple guys say that they go in there and get them out for me. Just shoot them. But
yeah, well.
They're in a kind of hard spot to do that.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, but, better you than me, because I'd have fallen down the ladder or whatever you're
saying. So that was my weekend. Another thing that happened, some of the people that listen to this and watch this already know. You might already know, too, but we had a sewage leak at the men's house.
Did not know that.
And that's nasty. So two nasty things I had to deal with the last week. So it's been fun. It's been a fun week.
He's assistant pastor, guys. He envy his role. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, assistant pastor. When I was like, when Jimmy asked if I wanted to be the assistant pastor or associate pastor, whatever the title is.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and in that job description, it never said.
Not one spot.
Sewage technician or, you know, I don't know, technician.
Did it say like the standard, like, all of these things plus anything the head pastor asks you to do?
So, no, it's anything the church deems. We do that.
Yeah.
There's too much
to do. And you never know. Sometimes you got to clean bell towers. Sometimes you got to clean bathrooms. Yeah, it don't matter. You signed up for all of it, buddy.
But, so, that's been my week. It's been a little out of the norm, I would say, but still good. At least it kept me busy this week.
Sure.
Yeah, I did. You preached on Sunday. I preached on Wednesday. Yeah, so.
I'm preaching next Wednesday.
Yes, and then I preach the Wednesday after that. So we're doing some preaching.
It's been
good.
It is.
I enjoyed your message on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, I just like to hear from different pastors in this church. So
yeah,
it's good. So we're going to do something a little different for this episode of the podcast. It's more maybe a Bible study, kind of. Well, at least a little bit of a Bible study. And we're going to talk about Psalms 23. This is like probably like the most well-known passage. Non-believers might know this passage.
A lot of funerals.
Lots of funerals. That's probably where people know it from.
Right.
It's right up there with 1 Corinthians 13 and, you know, love. John 3:16 and some of those passages that everybody just knows really well. But we're going to break it down verse by verse. It's like 6 verses. So not that hard, but there's a lot of stuff to unpack in Psalms 23. And, you know, if there's one thing that someone wants to know about how God leads, read Psalms 23. Because you get a good grasp of how God leads in his love, in his mercy, in his comfort, in his, you know, in his correction and above in Psalms 23. And I think it shows us, you know, some people listen, well, I'm not a leader, so this doesn't apply. Well, I think if you dig deep enough, you'll find that there are people that follow you.
Yeah.
So it's not that you have to have a position in a church to be a leader, or a position at work, or like a supervisor or a boss or whatever. You know, as many of you have children who follow you.
Yeah.
As many of you who have, you know, just people that look up to you. Just so many different things. So to say that it doesn't apply at all, I think you're just doing the passage a little bit of a disservice.
Sure.
Because I think it can apply to you, even if you think you're just the average Joe guy or girl.
Everybody's watching. So people watch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's one thing I've figured out in my 27 long years of life is that people do watch. Even when you think they're not watching, they're watching.
So
Phil, why don't you we'll read the passage and then we'll kind of just break it down verse by verse, but go ahead and read Psalm 23.
So verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
The end.
The end. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. No.
That's it.
Yeah. But it does, I think, this is a passage that speaks by itself.
Yeah.
You know, it's not one of those passages that is left up to interpretation, if there's any. But it's a passage that shows, you know, God being our shepherd. And if there's one person that knew what shepherd was. It's the person that wrote Psalms 23, David. Yeah. David knew from a very young age that what it meant and what it looked like to be a shepherd.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what adds even a little bit more to, you know, Psalms 23 when you know who wrote it. You know, the one who was just a little shepherd boy and then God, the great shepherd, you know, the good shepherd leads David, who was a shepherd to thousands of soldiers in Israel. He was the king and so on and so forth. And for that person to write something like in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah.
The one who, the king who shepherd, you know, all the armies and the Israelites and all the things that, you know, went along with being the king. And also shepherd the sheep. Yeah. If there's one person that knew sheep, it was David.
That's right.
You know, and if there's one person that knows people, it's God.
Yeah, and I, you know, thinking about it, there's been a lot of leaders in my life, a lot of people who have had influence in my life, and not a single one can add up to how God is.
Mm-hmm.
His being, the deity of Christ and God the Father. There's nobody, as hard as they may try, as good of a person as they are, there's nobody that can do it quite like God does it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful that, you know, David, being a king, even though he's going through difficult times, he understands that God is the one who is going to see him mm-hmm. through. God is the one who's going to lead the leader. You know, leaders, they have to have some, even you look at the president, does he know everything about everything? No, he has military leader. He has, foreign affairs. He has all these people that he's looking to for help, but God is above all. God is the head. God knows all of it. And so for a leader to go to another leader, it's important that we look to God for mm-hmm. everything. And to be quite honest, who else would we want to lead our lives? Found anybody yet?
Yeah. And I think it's so cool. You know, he says in verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing.
Yeah.
I think David says, I lack nothing because he knows the shepherd lacks nothing.
Yeah.
You know, the sheep lacks nothing when the shepherd lacks nothing.
Yeah.
And like you said, you got lots of leaders. I have lots of mentors that were in my life and were in my life. And there's one thing that they all had in common is they lacked something.
Yeah.
We all lack something, but the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, those are all titles in the Bible that God, you know, is mm-hmm. though that shepherd. He doesn't lack anything. And when he doesn't lack anything, we can say, I also lack nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, your translation, your version says, you know, I want.
I shall not want.
I shall not want. Yeah. You know, that's such a cool thing for David to say, you know, he doesn't have to want because the Lord is his shepherd who has all things.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? You look at, and I'll just use business as a kind of a platform. You look at the CEO. Do they lack anything? Generally, no.
Yeah.
They have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of say in what they do. They run a business. They're owners. They don't lack anything. But you look at the people following them. What do they lack? A lot. They don't get to be the millionaires that the CEOs are. They don't get to be. What I'm saying is, God says, you know, though we can't be God, he doesn't take anything away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't withhold blessings from us. He doesn't withhold good things from us. Whereas CEOs, worldly people, they can be a little greedy. They can say, yeah, we had profit sharing, but I'm going to stick this in my pockets and you guys get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't do that.
Yeah.
God gives, he gave us his all when he gave Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't withhold anything from us.
Yeah.
Who better to serve?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think once we keep going along, you know, in Psalms 23, it will almost get this picture. And I'm sure we'll talk about it at the end too, but we get this picture of, it's almost absurd to try to be led by anyone else.
Yeah.
Because no one is the good shepherd. No one's the great shepherd. No one's the chief shepherd other than God.
Yeah.
And David understood that. And I think that's powerful because, you know, it's powerful for someone like a king, or it would be powerful to hear a CEO, it would be powerful to hear the president say, the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah. I lack nothing, or I shall not want.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, so that's why I always try to keep in perspective the one who wrote it. You know, and we'll talk about David, you know, even more. But verse 2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Yeah. Phil, what do you think about that you know, passage right there?
A couple things. Us as people, we get tired. Sometimes we try and do things with little to no rest. God knows when we're tired.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us rest. His word tells, you know, you read Hebrews, I think it's chapter 4 about rest, God's rest. We're going to get that. We're promised that. Mm-hmm. God knows that. We get tired. We get exhausted. And the rest that we're going to get in heaven is going to be like no other.
Yeah.
But here it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. What do sheep love? They love to eat grass. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So to relax and to do something that they enjoy doing and be in the presence of the shepherd without worry, without concern for their own well-being, because they know that the shepherd has them. So not only they get to, God sees, okay, these sheep are tired. They need to lay down, but I'm not going to just lay them down in the dirt. I'm going to lay them down in green pastures with where they want. And then secondarily to that, he leads me beside still waters, calm water. I just get this picture of an oasis. You're wandering in the desert, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden there's this lush pocket, this oasis of every moment that we spend with God, regardless of circumstance, is like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that picture. We're living that picture. People want, to some it's a mirage though. They get there and it's nothing because they haven't put their faith and trust in Christ.
Yeah.
We are living in that. While there's desert around, we're living in that, and God takes care of his people.
Yeah.
And we get rest because of him, not because of what we're doing, but because of who he is as a father and as a shepherd.
Yeah. You know, I love the picture that you paint because, you know, it's, you think about the Israelites and you think about before David, before, you know, the kingship, and they were being led by God through the desert.
Yeah.
Just tons of just desert, the wilderness, just nothing. And then this picture, David is showing us that he brings us to the green pasture. Mm. And it's almost like something like, It's not of the world. It's not what you're used to. It's not anything that the desert can provide. It's something that only God can give in the midst of the desert. And I like that because, you know, when we're out here in the world, we think, you know, it's well, whatever word, big word you said, mirage.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of people who think, oh, this is it. You know, we're in the green pasture, and they might have the abundance here. But when the gates close and judgment comes, and you're left there, and that's disappeared, and it is the mirage, and it's gone, and it's nothing. It's a desert. It's wilderness. It's just desolate. But with God, that green pasture, not only is it waiting for us in heaven, but we have
a slice of it here.
We have it now. And I think when a believer understands that, not only is your oasis or your paradise in heaven, God has brought his kingdom here on earth.
It's the peace within us.
Yeah.
You know, people get so worked up over everything, but as David's writing in chapter 2, verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. He lacks nothing. So I have everything. What does a sheep need to stay alive? Food and water.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And to not get eaten by a wolf.
Yeah. Protection.
That's it.
Yeah.
Green pasture. Check. Still water. Check. Shepherd. Check. What else do you need?
Yeah.
God takes care of you.
Yeah.
God takes care of him.
Yeah. God literally gives you everything you need.
Yeah.
You know, we want the things we want, but God promises us, if we're his sheep, that he gives us exactly what we need.
That's right.
And that's a blessing in our life, I think believers often take for granted, because we get all caught up in the chaotic world, you know, the chaos of the world, and we get the anxiety and the depression because we see the fallenness of the world. But I think if we keep our focus on the green pasture that God is leading us to, that God makes us lie down in, and, you know, I think that's a blessing too.
Absolutely.
God makes us lie down in those green pastures. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's right here, lay down. And he leads us to quiet waters, because we know that if God was not the one leading us to these quiet waters, we'd be going all over right. the place. We wouldn't know where the quiet waters were mm-hmm. because a sheep, I watched this video on, maybe you've seen it on Facebook, it's hilarious, but there's like a divot or like a ditch, and this shepherd pulls the sheep out of the ditch. And it runs away and turns around and jumps right back into the ditch.
Yeah,
that's literally what we do yeah. as believers in Christ.
Like, God, take me out of this mess. I know I put myself in there. He's like, okay, dummy, come here. He pulls us out and says, ooh, the mess again. Boing, right back yeah. in. And he's like, yeah. what are you doing?
Yeah, it is so funny.
Yeah.
But it's so true at the same time when you think about it. It's a believer who's a sheep, but God led them to the green pasture. God mm-hmm. led them to the quiet water. But sometimes we get so caught up in what we see
yeah.
in the world that we're like, I'm going to run right back into yeah. the mess. I'm going to run right back into yeah. the not the quiet waters or not the green pasture, because you don't know where to go because you're not letting God
exactly.
lead you to those things.
And that's what verse 3 says. He says, He restores my soul. Mm-hmm. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Mm-hmm. See, he leads us there. But just because somebody leads you to something doesn't mean you have to go.
Yeah.
And so, with us, you know, with us living a Christian life now for 10 plus years, we understand the consequences of getting to that path that God is leading us down and deviating off.
Yeah,
you know, and it's never fun. Whether you look at a compass, if you're going due north and you're 1 degree off, it's not where you should be. Even 1 degree turn is going to set you off the course.
Yeah.
So with God restoring our soul, and that's beautiful in itself. Yeah. That he's the only one that can. You know, you talked about restoring the old building. It sat too long. It's dusty. It's dirty. It's full of pigeons. It's run down.
Yeah.
It's broken. It's a mess. And what some of that stuff's cosmetic, but God works from our foundation up.
Yeah.
He don't just slap a coat of paint on it and yeah. say, it's good now. He's like, no, we need to fix this foundation. We need to do this. We need to get right with me
yeah.
so we can build you up stronger, and he restores us, and then he leads us. Notice he has yes. to restore
yeah.
before he leads.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's very important to see that.
Mm-hmm. And exactly what you said. You know, if you first haven't dealt with your relationship with Christ, if yeah. you first have not been restored in your soul, you're not going to be led to the right path. Mm-hmm. You're not going to go where you need to go. First, you have to allow God to restore your soul, and he's more than willing. And I think yeah. you see the willingness of God even in this song. Obviously, you see it with Jesus Christ. You see it through the New Testament, how God is calling us to himself, that God draws us to himself, that yeah. God wants you to come to a relationship with his son, all those things so that you can be restored. And you know, mine says, you know, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And not only does he restore, but he does refresh.
Yeah.
You know, it is a daily thing. Lord, refresh my soul.
Yeah.
Lord, restore my soul. And I think the person that wrote it, keep in mind, is David. The same person that said, examine my heart, Lord, and see yeah. if there's any wickedness in me. The same one who committed adultery and asked the Lord to forgive him and repented and all those things. David wasn't a perfect person. He knew he needed God to restore his soul.
That's right.
And it's a daily thing. You know, it's something that you have to remind yourself. But I think it's important at the end of verse 3. You know, go ahead and read your version, Phil. Where he says he guides me.
Yeah, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yeah, I think that last part is so important. You know, we think that God is always leading us for our own benefit.
Yeah.
You know, for our glory. God's never leading you to the right yeah. path for your glory.
No.
He's always leading you for his name's sake.
Yeah, he didn't lead Jesus to the cross so Jesus could be lifted up. He lifted so God could be glorified through it all.
Mm-hmm.
That don't make no sense.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful that it happened. Same thing on any path of life that we go down. It's never for, look how great Phil is.
Mm-hmm.
Look how great Phil is. Look how great New Life is. Look how great New Life Ministries are. It's all, look how great God is and what he's done and allowed in our lives. Why?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's so important because, so God's guiding me along the right paths. He's guiding me towards righteousness. He's making me more right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's making me more holy. Not so that I can lift it over other people.
Right.
Right? It's so that the one who restores souls is lifted high. Because that's the most important part. So when you're being guided to the right path, so that you don't stumble or fall, so that you don't fall into wickedness, but rather into righteousness, that's where people see the God who restores souls.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people who are watching can relate if they're a believer in Christ, because they were once an old person and God's made them a new person. And I think a lot of people would say, I can say it about myself, is I was not righteous before. Yeah. I was nowhere close to, I was wicked before. I was sinful before. But now I'm more like Christ because he's restored my soul.
Yeah.
You know, and that's such a cool thing, an amazing thing to also know that because of what God's done with me, because he's restored my soul, because now I have the Holy Spirit, because now Christ is living inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Through walking on the right path, other people see it.
Yeah.
And other people can be led to the right path by you doing the righteous thing God calls you to. Not for your namesake, but God's name. You know?
Yeah. And it starts with the restoration.
Mm-hmm.
Because righteousness without restoration is impossible. Because nobody wants to be righteous outside of Christians. Nobody can be righteous without first having a relationship with Christ. Man loves the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Man loves his sin. Man hates righteousness because it's convicting. And so it's extremely important that the restoration, you know, I've working in a secular workplace, you hear so many conversations, not every day, but about, oh, well, this is God understands, or God does this, or God, you know, whatever. Oh, I'm right with God. Me and God are like this. Really? Then why do you continue in that lifestyle? Oh, well, he understands. Okay. Tells me that the foundation, the restoration, has never been there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad, but with us who are restored and him leading us down the path, you know, him leading us down that path, we might be a light to those people.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and this is what I would challenge you know, just the people that are listening and watching, is you're looking for the right path where God called you to, whatever God's moving you to, whether that's, you know, something in ministry, whether that's at your work, whether that's talking to your neighbor, whatever that looks like, whether that's cleaning the church, I don't know. Lots of things God can call us to for, so that we're on the right path, so that we're where we need to be. But I would challenge you to ask yourself this question, because I've had to ask myself this question before, is, am I doing it for his name's sake?
Yeah.
Because it's easy for us to think that we're doing it for his name's sake when we're actually doing it for our own sake.
Mm.
There's no blessing, you know, there's no refreshing of the soul there. There's no quiet waters there. There's no peace, because that's so important to do it for his name.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's an underrated thing in the psalm, is in that verse right there. We like to say he guides me along the right path, or he leads me in the path of righteousness.
Yeah.
But to know that it's for his glory and his honor above all things, it is easy for you to stay on the right path. So God's guiding you there. God guides me to it. But a lot of times I have to make a choice whether I'm going to stay on it.
Yeah.
It's easier to stay on the path when you're doing it for his name rather than your own.
Because verse 4 says, when we're doing it on his path, there's things that are coming. Verse 4 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You can expect opposition, oppression, adversity to hit when you're following and doing things for God's name's sake. You can expect it to happen. David here, it was happening to him. It was happening hard. Life was happening. Running away from Absalom or Saul, whichever one he was running away from at this time, I'm not sure. But he was in it, and he was in it deep.
Mm-hmm.
But even though those things were coming up, he could still write this. Why? Because what verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. He knew who was protecting him. And 4, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's not saying, oh, it's not so bad. Oh, it's going to be easy. He's saying, even though I'm walking this, I have walked this, I don't fear. Why? Because of me? No. Because of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And that's, we go back to the picture of the sheep. You know, a good shepherd sees a wolf, can see the wolves moving in. The sheep are probably oblivious to it. Mm-hmm. They don't care. Their head's down. They're munching on grass. It's a shepherd's job to keep them safe. It's not the sheep's job to keep themselves safe. They don't have shave, shell, shave. Sally sells, she sells down by the seashore. Yeah. It's not the sheep's job to keep themselves. It's their job to not get eaten. And if they can outrun a wolf, which they can't, great. But the shepherd's got to be on point. The shepherd's got to be watching out for the danger.
Mm-hmm.
And though the sheep, every day, they're vulnerable. If it wasn't for that shepherd, there wouldn't be no sheep.
Yeah.
So he's got to be the one paying attention. And again, glad that it's God. Because he don't sleep. He don't blink an eye. He don't miss nothing.
Yeah, he sees all things. You know, with that, the valley of the shadow of death, there's such a cool picture there. There's such an amazing picture, a wonderful picture, that you don't have to fear death.
Yeah.
You don't have to fear the darkest of valleys. Because that is the darkest of valleys. Because, you know, not everyone goes through the same thing. Not everyone goes through the same valley. But there is one valley everybody is going towards. Mm-hmm. That's the valley of the shadow of death. You know, death is imminent. It's going to happen. And there's a lot of people that are afraid of it. But the believer ought not to be afraid of death, because it's only a step into new life. It's only a step into everlasting life.
Yeah.
And that's a believer that understands that can say, I fear no evil, for you are with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, one of the most important things the most important thing that you can face, you know, head on in life with Christ is death.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to face it. It's already been defeated.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go into life, because anything that seems huge in comparison to death is small. And if Christ defeated death for the believer, those other things seem awfully small. They don't seem very big anymore. No. The financial debt, that can be a big burden for people.
Yeah.
But it's small, because the biggest valley has already been defeated. God can defeat that valley in your life, that dark valley that you have in front of you, whatever it might be. And I'll even go to the other end of temptation. You know, that can be a valley for people, a very dark valley, whatever that temptation is in your life. And you don't have to fear if you trust Christ.
You don't. What is there to fear?
Yeah.
Nothing. Why? Because he's with us. And I think I wish that more Christians understood just how powerful the name of Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
How powerful it is. You know, we like coming on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, but how we trust him with how we trust him with eternity, but we can't trust him with our finances or our marriage or the small valley that we're walking through. But we say, no, we believe that he died and I'm going to heaven because I put my faith and trust in him and I believe in him and I've repented, but I don't think he can get me out of this debt. I don't think he can fix my marriage. I don't think it's wild. Mm-hmm. I wish more Christians understood that things are going to happen. Death is imminent. Yeah. It's going to happen. You can't escape it. But we don't have to experience it with the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm. And like I've said many times already, it's keep in perspective who's writing the song.
Right.
For the one who's facing war, facing battle, and continuing to say, we're heading into battle. Anybody who's going into war has to grapple with the idea of the valley of the shadow of death. This is why sometimes army generals in the battalion or whatever, you know, the company.
Yeah.
Well, there's times where I've heard them read this song, because you're going into battle and you're facing the shadow of the valley, the valley of the shadow of death. And you have to grapple. Are you ready? Are you ready to fear no evil? because you know God's with you. And so I think that's important, you know, to understand that David understood that he could step into death, but it was just another step into life.
Yeah.
And a believer that understands that gets through the problems of life.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's it is interesting to think about. If we do trust God with eternity, we're secure. A lot when some aren't, but we're secure in our salvation.
Yeah.
We're secure in the hope that Christ has given us in heaven, in everlasting life. But when our car breaks down, or we can't pay rent, or we, you know, have a family problem, you know, even a marriage problem, huge things, really.
Yeah.
But you don't think God could help you with that?
Yeah.
Well, God can help you with that.
It's tricky.
God's the author of helping. You know, he's my helper. Mm. You know, and I think David had a good perspective, not just in this psalm, but in a lot of the other psalms. He's a creator of the universe.
He is.
He's the maker of the universe.
Yeah.
And if there's one person that knows our faults, if there's one person that knows our struggle, there's one person that knows our valleys, it's the one who's created us.
Yeah.
It's the one that knows the hairs on our head. It's the one who knows the depths of the sea, the highest of mountains. It's the one who's made all those things. And to think that he's not capable of helping you with valleys in your life is a dishonor to how great God is.
Yeah.
You know, so I would just, you know, keeping in mind as a sheep led by God, know that the good shepherd can take care of you.
Yeah.
Know he can get you through that dark valley. Know he can lift you out of the ditch. You know, he can get you out of whatever problem in your life if you trust him.
Yeah.
That's important. If you let him lead you. If you don't let him lead you, then that's on you.
And it don't always feel good either. Because it says what? Your staff and your rod, they comfort me. Why? Because everything that happens, what's the Bible say? God disciplines those whom he loves. Don't always feel good, but it's always a perfect love. Mm-hmm. There's a perfect reason for doing things the way God does it.
You know, I once heard, and this is just what I've heard, and so I've never actually looked it up, but... what the shepherds used to do when a sheep kept running away is they'd break the sheep's legs. But then that shepherd would carry that sheep till the legs heal. And then after that, that sheep never left the side of the shepherd.
Yeah.
And there are times where God disciplines us in a way where he will break us a little bit.
Yeah.
Just so that we understand that outside of him is scary. Outside of him is danger. But with him is this overwhelming sense of security. Yeah. It's this overwhelming sense of protection.
Yep.
And he knows that. And sometimes he lets us wander off a little bit to understand. But sometimes he breaks us a little bit.
Yeah.
Disciplines us a little bit with his rod and his staff so that we know what it's like to be close to him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and it's cool for David to say, you know, his rod and his staff, they comfort me.
Yeah.
His discipline and his protection, they comfort me. That can be hard to say as a believer.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, outside of Christ, we don't have too many examples where our parents, you know, they say, oh, it's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. Wrong. Wrong. My backside was painted red on more than one occasion. It didn't hurt it. How does that hurt you more? But, you know, God does everything perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get frustrated and act out of anger. Frustration and anger, and whereas parents do. He does everything particularly. He does everything with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He does everything perfectly.
Yeah.
Not to say, look how great, so we can come back to him, so that we can understand boundaries, so that we can do things, we can live life the way he designed us to live life.
Yeah.
And that's why I think David can find comfort in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in verse 5, David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, that gives us, not only does it give us a picture of the banquet in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, Christ preparing this banquet for the believers, preparing the banquet for the sheep who followed the shepherd, who know the shepherd. You know, and it says, in the presence of my enemies. I think this is important to understand when you're following Christ, when you're following the Lord, where he guides you, where he leads you, when you understand his protection in your life, when you understand his discipline in your life, and you're comforted by those things, and you're living where God wants you to live, and the enemies that we have, even though we might not say that they're enemies today, but the enemies that we have in life, they see it. They recognize it. And there are people from time to time, this is what a believer hopes for, at least, is that when you're living a life worthy of the calling that God's given you, you hope people see it. And I think when David says that you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, enemies see the table being prepared. The enemies are seeing David being protected by God.
Yeah.
And like when you see all the battles that happen in the Old Testament, not necessarily with David, but all sorts of different things, there are times where the people say, we fear Israel because we know the Lord is with them.
Yep.
People that don't even believe in God, people who believe in other gods, false gods, recognize the power of the Lord. You know, and that's what you hope for as a believer.
Yeah. And can you imagine, I get kind of a, when I read things like this, my mind just starts going. I think of like just a medieval battle, you know, how they fought with swords and things like that. And then all of a sudden, some general just walks in the middle of the chaos, has a table, and people are fighting all around him, and he just starts setting the table. Yeah. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of war, in the midst of battle, there's one who's calm. And he's setting a table, and then he points to one person, David, and invites him over to the table. Sit down and eat and take a load off. Yeah, this is going, this madness is happening around you. Don't worry about it. Let's have a meal together. Let's take a load off.
Hmm.
Let's relax. Let this battle do what it's going to do. You don't have to be a part of it. Find peace at this table with me. Hmm. And they sit down and have a meal, and then what happens? So another soldier says, why am I fighting this guy? Why is this going? How is this happening? And then another one joins the table. I'm sick of this. I'm going to go find peace in this chaos. And then what happens? Somebody from the other army says, "What? Why are those guys get to sit down and eat? What's different about that? Why are they?" And then they join. And then before long, there's this long table. Chaos don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The world, the things that go around the world don't matter. Why? Because God's the one who prepares it. And the enemies see it. The enemies being lost, they see it. And they want a piece of it because the world's tough. It's difficult. The battle's tough. It's difficult. Why would you fight when you could relax, take a load off, and find peace within Jesus Christ?
Yeah, absolutely. And people recognize that peace. People recognize...
It'd be hard not to.
Yeah. People... I mean, yeah.
When you get the picture of that, right?
When you picture that, you know, I'm not going to lie. If I see that, I don't know if I'm sitting at that person's table.
They're crazy.
They're crazy. Nuts, but it is true because people do recognize peace because everybody is facing chaos.
Yeah.
Everybody is in the chaotic world, the dysfunctional world. Everybody's going through the ringer of life.
Yeah.
But the one person that seems to have that peace that transcends understanding, it doesn't make sense for that person to be peaceful in the midst of battle.
Yeah.
Because that's what this world is.
Yeah.
You recognize it and you wonder, how on earth is that person sitting at the table? I want to sit at the table.
I'll share a story with you real quick on Easter, and I might have shared it with you. I'm not sure, but we were at my mom's house, and she cooked our dinner, and she made these fresh green beans. So they were the long green beans. She steamed them, and I was eating them, and I get to my last green bean, and I take a bite into it, and the beans like shoot out of the pod. And I swallow them, so all I got left is I'm chewing on this pod. So I go to swallow, and I'm like, oh no, it's stuck in my throat. And I realize that, so I try and swallow again. I realize I'm choking. I reach in my mouth to pull the little thing snaps. So now I'm like, okay, I can't reach this thing. And so what's going through my mind, and I'm calm, and it's weird that I'm so calm, but what goes through my mind is, if I do this, I know this is the universal sign for choking. But I don't know if they know that. And this is what's going through my mind as I'm choking. So I stand up and I point to my throat, and my baby brother JJ is sitting across from me. My mom's sitting right here. And JJ goes, are you choking? And I said, yeah. And so my dad pops up and JJ pops up. And immediately my mom goes, I don't know what to do. She just flips out, right? She's freaking out. She doesn't know what's going on. Eventually I get it up. But isn't that the picture of the Christian life? It's like, I'm the one that's choking. I'm the one that has the problem. Why are you freaking out, Mom? This has nothing to do with you. But in the midst of chaos, how is it possible that you can stay calm? Now, had it been a little bit longer, yeah, I might have started getting a little worried. But it was about 15 seconds, you know, of me not being able to breathe. But she's the one freaking out. But with Christ, we don't have to. When someone's choking on a green bean, I know it's funny, but we don't have to be the one worried about everything. Just be calm. Let God do what he's going to do. Know that he's prepared us a seat. He's with us. He's the one that leads us, makes us lay down in green pastures, leads us to still waters. He's our shepherd. Yeah. In the midst of chaos, it don't matter. Mm-hmm. He's setting the table.
Yeah.
He's anointing our head with oil.
Yeah. And he says, he anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. You think about all the blessings, all the wonderful gifts of grace and mercy, peace, hope, all those things that God gives. Our cup truly does overflow, you know, and it's something that was, it's interesting back in then, if I'm remembering right, just by doing some studying and stuff, is when someone would come in, they would anoint their head with oil when they come to eat dinner. It's just what they did. But also just the average person you don't know is not coming into your house back then to eat dinner. You know them. And most of the time, it's not like an acquaintance. It's a friend.
Yeah.
And the same is true. You know, the Lord's not letting everybody into the table.
Yeah.
You only get there through his son.
Mm-hmm.
You only get there from knowing his son. But when you know his son, your cup truly does overflow. Mm-hmm. He anoints your head. And then your cup overflows.
Yeah.
There's plenty of grace. There's plenty of love. There's plenty of mercy. There's plenty of forgiveness to go around for everyone at the table. And I think that's a cool picture that David understood, was that if there's anyone who gives in abundance, it's the Lord.
It is.
Yeah. You know, there's passages in the New Testament where it tells you to ask the Lord and it'll be given to you. And there's a passage in Galatians or Ephesians, I get them mixed up, but where it talks about when you ask the Lord, he's able, and he's able to do immeasurably more than what you ask. You know, it's such an amazing thing to serve a God who can make our cup overflow.
Right.
And I just pray that we don't miss it. You know, sometimes the Lord is overflowing our cup and we're saying, oh yeah, it's a good life. It's a nice life. But we don't ever attribute it to the one who's making our cup overflow. We say, oh yeah, I'm glad I got this. It's a good job. You know? It's a good job. It's a nice house.
Or we complain about the mess. Like, how are you going to get a cup that's overflowing? You're complaining that it's spilled on the table. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, that's true too. Hopefully you don't do that.
Yeah.
And then verse 6, it says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yeah.
And I think David understood what it meant to dwell in the house of the Lord forever there. But also, you know, he understood where he was going.
Yeah.
He understood that this world full of enemies, full of war, battle, chaos, was only for a moment. Yeah. He knew that forever he would dwell with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He would dwell in his house. He would eat at the Lord's table.
Yeah.
You know, it was the Lord's oil that was going to anoint him. It was the Lord's green pastures. It was the Lord's quiet waters. All those are the Lord's. And it's the Lord that gives those abundantly, where he makes our cup overflow. And it says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life.
Yeah.
David understood that wasn't just a forever promise. When I get there, then his goodness and mercy will be there. David understood that his goodness and his mercy, or his goodness and his love, was always there when you're walking in the right path with the Lord.
Absolutely. And that's I've never been so happy to be a sheep before, you know? Yeah. It's like, you put it like, reading through this, and I mean, I'm, can't tell you how many times I've read this or how many times I've heard someone preach on it or how many times I've heard of a verse out of this chapter read, but it never really hit me till now that, yeah, it's good to be a sheep.
Yeah.
Because what do we have to worry about?
Yeah.
Is it's there's no God like our God. Mm-hmm. There's no one that can do the things that our God does. And I'm so thankful that, you know, I gave my life to him almost 11 years ago. Yeah, almost 11 years ago. Wouldn't go back for nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful.
Yeah, there's no better shepherd than the Lord.
No.
There's no better shepherd than Christ. And he protects us from from so many things that we don't even realize in this life. You know, so many attacks from the devil that never even reached us.
Right.
Because the Lord stopped it. Because the Lord said, no, not today. Now, there are times when the valley happens and you're walking through it and it's dark and it's hard. But there's always that promise that's there, is he's with us. He's always with us. And I think it even reverberates all the way to the New Testament, where Jesus is talking to the disciples in Matthew 28, where he says, you know, make disciples of all nations, baptize them by the Son. And at the end, he says, surely I'll be with you.
Even to the end of the earth.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and that's such, it's such a sad thing to see a Christian who's forgotten that.
Yeah.
Who gets all disarrayed, worried about life.
Yeah.
Not realizing they serve the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, who's not going to let anything happen to a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important for those who struggle with salvation, who are not for sure in their salvation. Don't get me wrong. Make sure you know the Lord.
Yeah.
Make sure you have Christ. But also know this promise. The Lord's not going to let the wolves eat the sheep.
That's right.
The shepherd's not going to let the wolf eat the sheep. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. The devil's not going to do something to say, I got Phil. He's saved, but he ain't going to make it to heaven.
Right.
That's not how it works. Once you're a sheep, once you're a part of the Lord's flock, no wolves getting you. Mm-hmm. No wolves are getting in. No coyotes are getting you. Right. Nothing like that's going to get you. Nothing's going to harm you in your soul. Because it's been restored.
Mm-hmm.
And once it's been restored, it can't be destroyed anymore.
Yeah.
That's a promise I wish more Christians would take a hold of. Because I think there's a lot of Christians that struggle more than they should. Yeah. Like, we can struggle, but I hope we don't stay there.
Yeah.
You know, I hope we're not staying looking down at the problems that we have, thinking, oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm wasted away. I'm nothing. I'm not making it through. Because a believer, a person that's part of the family of God, knows that the Lord's going to see me through. Mm-hmm. Even if he doesn't accomplish the problem or fix the problem that you have in life, he's defeated the biggest valley in life. It's death. So you could die in whatever disease you have. Maybe you have cancer or something. But the believer knows that I don't die.
Yeah.
I'll die physically in the body, but I'll be raised in Christ.
That's right.
And that's a promise that is so encouraging. And I think that probably encouraged David to know that the Lord was his shepherd. Probably made it a little easier to step out of battle, to not run away from the problems in life.
Yeah.
Probably made it a little easier to charge into the battlefield, knowing that the Lord's not going to let anything happen to me. Even if my body dies here, I'll be with the Lord tomorrow. Yeah. I'll be with the Lord.
Says. To live is Christ, to die is gain.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so I think, you know, just to remind people, I'll just say this, you know, we're not the lead pastors of the church, you know. Mm-hmm. We're assistant pastors. We preach when Jimmy wants us to preach, and we love doing it.
Okay.
It's awesome to do. You know, it's awesome to live in the calling that God has on your life. But there's something important and unique about a lead pastor, where they're not the good shepherd, but God's made them shepherd of the flock, shepherds of their flock, their churches. And I would say to those people that are watching and listening is, don't take for granted the shepherds that you have in your church. It's not an easy task because they're not God.
Right.
They lack things. They don't always know exactly what to do. They don't have all the answers like God does. They have to be always in fervent prayer. They always have to be praying in everything they do. And just pray that your pastor is continuing to lead the flock where God wants them to lead it. It's not an easy thing to do because, like we said, that of that little meme that that goes around, we're not so far away from the sheep who gets saved and runs right back into the ditch. Right. And the pastor's there to tend to it, to help, to protect, to do all those things. Just don't take it for granted.
Yeah.
And if you know you're a leader, understand this. We're all leaders in some aspects. Understand that the people are watching.
Yeah.
There's people watching in your life. Don't lead them down the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't lead you down the wrong path. And he calls us as shepherds, as leaders, to not lead others down the wrong path. Yeah. That's by what you say, and that's by what you do. So don't take those lightly. Yeah. Two very important things in life, what you say and what you do.
Yeah.
And they ought to add up.
They should be the same.
So I love that song.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Any final thoughts about Psalms 23, Phil?
I think we said it all.
Yep.
Thank God. I think, wow, I took a trip back to the seventh grade.
Yeah.
I think God said it all.
Yeah.
David wrote it. God used him for us to have. And I'm thankful for it.
Yeah. Absolutely. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
That's amazing. Well, that concludes our episode for this week. If you did like this kind of style with me and Phil, maybe doing more Bible studies, you can comment, let us know down below. And then maybe every few episodes or whatever, we'll do one. We'll have other guests. We'll do one. Just maybe to change things up. Maybe that's something that you really enjoy. Maybe you want to learn about the Bible in a little bit different of a way. Then this could be, you know, something that you can do. But if you like this episode, you can share it with somebody. If you'd like to subscribe, you can click that little red bell, whatever it is on YouTube, and you can subscribe. That would be a huge blessing to us. And I would just thank the Lord for the Word of God.
Yeah.
It's a huge blessing in life.
It is.
It's an awesome blessing.
It's true.
You know, so as always, thank you for listening. Kingdom Faith.
See you guys.